Movies Are a Thing is a weekly podcast going over the movies premiering this week.
And any other movie-related tangents we decide to venture off on today.
Hello and welcome to Movies Are a Thing. My name is John.
And my name is Alan. And here are the movies premiering this week.
But before we do that, how's everything been going, man?
Well, I mean, I'm going to talk about the weather.
Well, before we do that, people might notice, I don't know if you can tell from the microphones or anything like that, but it's a little bit more echoey right now than usual. You wanna explain why?
We are segueing into my soon-to-be nerd den / our podcasting studio.
Yeah. It's going to be good, man.
I think it still sounds better.
Yeah.
I mean,
It's an enclosed space, you know, rather than being like the other spaces weren't wide open, but they were more open, I should say.
Right. So, yeah, and I noticed the difference in echo when we're upstairs as opposed to downstairs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the only reason I bring up the weather is because everyone got hit with giant hail except for my city.
Right? Everyone around you.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was at work, I never had any hail whatsoever. But, over at my mom's place, that wasn't too good. They got some pretty big hail. And, I ended up talking to her and basically siding windows. I'm guessing the roof, but she hadn't had a chance to actually take a look at it yet. All damage. And,
I mean, it's not a good thing, but on the bright side, at least most, if not all, homeowners insurance covers hail damage.
Right, right.
Because I was... Well, one, I knew it already, but I was looking it up. Mm-hmm. I was like, in case anything happens, and it was like, oh, hail damage is actually the number one claim for all homeowners insurance. I'm like, that makes sense.
Right. No, absolutely.
But like, my thing was, this was like baseball size hail in some parts.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No.
Like it was nuts.
2.5 inch is out by my mom's place.
Yeah, I saw 4 in Delano.
Yeah.
That's
like softball close to.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's huge though. And I was like, oh my God, I was just thinking I was going to come home and my window is going to be shattered on my house.
Right. Yeah. No, like, well, that's the thing is there were windows that were broken at my mom's place. Siding was chipped, cracked, broken, all of that stuff. She has one of those, hose roller upper deals that, you know, has it's an enclosed box that the hose is rolled up into. And when I was talking to her, she's like, oh, yeah, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 holes in the top of it from hail of the hose roller upper thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, from hail specifically.
Does she have vinyl siding or is it wood?
I believe it's vinyl.
Yeah, because that stuff can, like, it's like crack, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, gosh.
Yeah, I don't think it's not wood. I don't think that it's aluminum, because, I mean, the house is old enough to have aluminum siding, but I think it was re-sided before she bought it.
See, mine is vinyl.
I could be wrong.
But, like, I noticed this wasn't from hail. This was from, like, it was either there before or we, like, hit the side with, like, a heavy garbage can.
Mm-hmm.
But there was, like, a tiny, like, less than a penny size,
hole
that I saw.
Oh, yeah. As it gets older, it gets more fragile and, you know, easier to just punch a hole in.
Yeah, I was like, gosh. And initially, I was like, I'm going to have to fix that. Oh, God, I got to repair it. Then I was like, this literally does nothing. I was like, it's so small.
Right.
Like, it's probably like half the size of the top of my pinky.
Okay.
You can see it. They can't, but
yeah.
I got small hands.
I gotcha.
But yeah, and then so windows in her house broke.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. But, I mean, the windows that she has there's like 2 sets of windows.
Mm-hmm.
There's the storm windows and then everything like that. Whatever. But she was telling me that she was looking at the siding and didn't actually notice that the windows were broken until she was standing like right underneath them, which is where the glass fell.
But she didn't, so it like shattered. It didn't just crack it.
No, it was broken windows.
Damn.
Yeah. So... And she's like, and now my screens are all messed up, so I can't open the windows and enjoy the nice day without all the bugs coming in. Which, I mean, we've got some pretty nice days right now after the storm.
Yeah. It's just crazy. Like, I was
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, oh my gosh, I don't want this to ruin my house. But that's why I have insurance.
Yeah, that's what insurance is for, exactly.
I literally called and changed my insurance on my car.
Yeah.
Just in case. I was like, you know what? I was like, hey, I want to change my, I mean, already had comprehensive and collision, but I was like, let me add this and let's lower my deductible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So my insurance went up like 20 something bucks a month.
Okay.
To do all that. And I was like, yeah, I was like, it's worth it. And then, yeah, that's pretty much the big eventful thing is the storm.
Mm-hmm. That rolled through not too long ago here.
Mm-hmm. That was Monday?
Yep.
Yeah, yep. Monday.
Yeah, well, I mean, you sent the picture and said what city was in and everything like that, and that's what made me call my mom, too, because that's, again, the city that she lives in, and it's just like, oh, okay, should probably give her a call, see how everything's going. Luckily, she was at work when the storm rolled through, and so she wasn't anywhere near any of that stuff happening, but yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, man. And then, yeah, because I remember I was at work, and we got, like, alerts on our phone. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Severe. It was like, I think I saw a picture of what it said. It basically said, take cover.
Yep. Yep.
I was like, what the heck? I was like, are we going to war? I was large, like, this is crazy.
Large hail incoming. Take cover.
Yeah. That. Yep. So it was emergency alert. Large hail threat. Take cover immediately.
Well, I mean, you think about it.
That even, is crazy.
Even like inch hail, which is what? Like golf ball?
I would imagine so, yeah.
I mean, think of a golf ball-sized piece of ice flying at your head at terminal velocity. That would hurt a little bit. Like, a little bit.
I remember it did hail here once.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, a little freaked. I was, like, paranoid. I was like, oh, gosh, this sucks. But then it was nothing big enough to do anything.
Right.
But I couldn't imagine, because it was just like, you know, normal size hail.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the sound it made. I was sitting there in my living room, and it was like, tuk, 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 tuk. And I was like, oh, even then, I was like, is my window about to crack open? Or, and now I imagine that being like quadruple the size.
Right.
Just, tuk, 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 just oh, gosh. Oh, lordy, lordy. I did, but moving on.
Yeah.
What did I see? Oh, Hobbs and Shaw.
How'd you like it?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
That's what I keep hearing, is that it's really just good. It's just a fun movie.
Oh, yeah. And the cameos certainly lived up to it. They were actually better cameos than I had even come close to anticipating.
Okay. Well, I haven't really had too much time, so haven't had a chance to go and watch really anything. But we'll see how that goes here. Yeah, did you see anything else, or was it just really Hobbs and Shaw?
That's the only thing I saw, yeah.
Okay.
That I'm... Yeah, it was just Hobbs and Shaw.
Alrighty, well, I mean, we've got a few movies this week.
Yeah,
to put it lightly, a grand total of 11. So let's get right down to it, shall we?
Ready.
Sweet. First one that we have is Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which is rated PG-13. It's 1968 in America, changes blowing in the wind, but seemingly far removed from the unrest in the cities is the small town of Mill Valley, where for generations the shadow of the Bellows family has loomed large. It is in their mansion on the edge of town that Sarah, a young girl with horrible secrets, turned her tortured life into a series of scary stories written in a book that has transcended time. Stories that have a way of becoming all too real for a group of teenagers who discover Sarah's terrifying tome. Rotten Tomatoes does not have a score on this one, neither does Metacritic, but IMDb has this one at a 7.5 out of 10. I mean, this one is coming right from Guillermo del Toro, man. Mm-hmm. He didn't direct it, he produced it, though. He was the main producer on this one.
Okay, well, I'm going to just start off with what we already know.
And what is that?
You are not going to see it.
I am not. How'd you guess?
Probably, well, it says scary stories right from the get-go, so.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, these are based off of the books from back in the day. Did you ever read those books?
No, I have no idea what it's based. I mean, I want to see it, but I have no idea what it's based off of.
Oh, yeah, no, they're based off of a series of books called Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure. And all of the different, like, stories within this movie are stories within the book or in the books. And from what I can tell, like I personally didn't read them growing up because scary stories, not for me. Go figure. but from everything that I've seen is there's like illustrations in the book as well that pretty accurately are represented in the movie.
Okay.
And so, you know, like all of the different monsters and things like that are pretty accurate to their drawings in the books. So that's nice to see, you know, is a hopefully a faithful adaptation of the stories. And I think the way that they're doing it is pretty awesome.
So how long is each like scary story then? Or?
Oh, it's just a couple pages for each story.
So, I mean, in terms of the movie, it's going to be like 10, 15 minutes, half hour.
I think it'll probably depend on the story itself. Just from the trailers that we watched here, I mean, you know, it had what, 4 or 5 different stories.
Yeah.
And so they have to set up the stories. They have to kind of have the stories take place, and then they have to finish the stories. So that, yeah, they have to set up the whole plot line and then start the stories, finish the stories, and then start up the next story kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And with 4 or 5 of them, yeah, say they do take 10, 15 minutes a piece. So that right there is, you know, 40 to like what, an hour and a half?
I would imagine, yeah. Well, let's see, how long is the movie? Runtime, 2 hours.
Okay, yeah, hour and 51, 2 hours, something like that, yeah. So, I mean, that kind of makes sense, though.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they have to then, you know, wrap up the stories at the end of the movie, too. Or wrap up kind of the overarching story that they want.
Right. I didn't realize Dean Norris was in it, though.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's kind of a relatively unknown cast.
A little bit. But, I mean, you know, that's kind of what I was expecting from this kind of story. You don't really expect any big names to kind of come in and...
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know enough about, like, the original and what the scary stories are going to be to make an actual judgment on it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what, like, talk about it enough. I'm going to see it, but I don't know if, like,
right,
anything to expect.
Right. And I mean, you know, it might be something if you have a couple of seconds to just, you know, look online for some of the stories from the original series of books. Or even, you know, go to the library quick and see if you can't just page through one or two of them quick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, just a thought. Ready to go on to the next movie?
I sure hope so.
Alrighty.
But yes, I am. And I only say I hope so because it looks like... Go ahead.
Well, the next one is called The Kitchen. It is rated R, and it's based on the Vertigo comic book series from DC Entertainment. Three 1978 Hell's Kitchen housewives, whose mobster husbands are sent to prison by the FBI, are left with a little but a sharp axe to grind. The ladies take the Irish Mafia's matters into their own hands, proving unexpectedly adept at everything from running the rackets to taking out the competition, literally. On Rotten Tomatoes, this one is sitting at a 15%. Metacritic is sitting at a 41%, and IMDb does not have any score at the moment. You think it looks like trash?
I'm really not a Melissa McCarthy fan.
And this is more of a serious role for her. You know, this isn't going to be comedy. This is a more serious kind of,
yeah, you know,
becoming the mafia kind of thing.
It doesn't really thrill me that much. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, not only Melissa McCarthy, but there's a couple other people in here that I did not expect. Well, I mean, so the main three are Melissa McCarthy, Tiffany Haddish, and Elizabeth Moss. But it's also got Common, and it's also got Domhnall Gleeson, which kind of threw me for a loop a little bit.
Just a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just because it's Melissa McCarthy, because I have a hard time taking her seriously.
Okay.
But I don't know. I just, you know, there's some actors or actresses you're just kind of like, eh.
Yeah. No, I totally got you. I totally got you. And I definitely can see Melissa McCarthy being that for quite a few people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of people that didn't like Spy. I thought she was pretty good in Spy. You know, Happy Time Murders. Going all the way back to... her, the TV show that she was in, Gilmore Girls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people didn't necessarily like her unless they got very little screen time of her, and then they liked her a lot. But, sorry, I'm kind of, I just want to go through here. One of the people in this movie is Gabriel Rush,
okay.
Who, like, the name sounded really familiar, and so I clicked on it. And in his known for, the very first thing, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Ha!
So, he is in two movies that are premiering this week.
Well, it's weird that it doesn't look good to me because it's the same person who wrote Straight Outta Compton, which I love that movie.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's clever. The Kitchen, Hell's Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
But... I don't know. What about you? Looks like something you'd want to see, maybe?
A little bit, yeah. A
wee bit. And you'd have to let me know about it?
I think I might. We'll have to see how this all goes this week. But it might be something that I might try to catch. Although there are some other ones this week that I am going to try a little bit harder to catch.
Like Scary Stories?
No.
Why? yeah, so I am not going to see it. You might see it.
Yeah, we'll see how it all goes. But might as well just go to the next movie then, you think?
Let's go explore the next movie.
It makes sense because the next movie is Dora and the Lost City of Gold, which is rated PG. Having spent most of her life exploring the jungle with her parents, nothing could prepare Dora for her most dangerous adventure ever, high school. Always the explorer, Dora quickly finds herself leading Boots, her best friend, a monkey, Diego, a mysterious jungle inhabitant, and a ragtag group of teens on a live-action adventure to save her parents and solve the impossible mystery behind a lost city of gold. Rotten Tomatoes has this one at an 80%, Metacritic has it at a 55%, and IMDb has it at a 4.6 out of 10. I want to see this movie, man.
I'm kidding?
I am not kidding. I want to see this movie. It looks hilarious to me, whether intentionally or unintentionally. But, okay, so, do you remember the movie Clockstoppers from back in the day?
Am I thinking of the right movie? Is it called Clockstoppers?
It is.
I thought it was called something. You're talking about the one where they have the watch, right?
That can stop time.
Is it Clockstoppers? I feel like it's something else.
2002, Clockstoppers. A teenager accidentally activates a machine that enables him to speed up his body so that other people seem to be standing still. I thought he had a watch, though, for it.
I thought it was a watch, too. Or didn't the, don't they... Oh, my gosh. Now I'm trying to think without looking it up. Didn't they get some sort of device from something? Like, it was like a crime... Was it a crime lord or something?
So, until now, Zach Gibbs' greatest challenge has been finding a way to buy a car, but when he discovers an old wristwatch amidst his father's various inventions and slips it on, something very strange happens. The world around him seemingly comes to a stop, giving the effect that everyone has come to a stop. I remember watching that in theaters and just loving every minute of it. And this one, I feel like, is... Like Dora the Explorer or Dora and the Lost City of Gold, I feel like is going to be along the same vein.
Yeah, we were also 13 years old when that came out.
So?
Gosh.
Okay, so there's a part in the trailer.
What's Jesse Bradford up to anyway? Is he even doing anything anymore?
I don't know. You can look that up while I tell this. But there's a part in the trailer where it's young Dora, like TV show age Dora, with Diego and stuff like that, and they're at the table and they're like, this food is delicioso, and then she looks off in the distance, can you say delicioso? And then Michael Pena, she's kind of like looking around like, what is she doing? And then he says, yeah, she'll grow out of it. So, I mean, it's got the self-referential humor, you know, knowing just, I feel like the people that made this just know how ridiculous it is and just had fun with it, which is why I want to go watch it, because I feel like it's just going to be a fun movie to watch.
I mean, they did get Benicio del Toro in there.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny Trejo.
Right. Exactly.
I'm shocked.
Well, I mean, you saw who Danny Trejo is playing, right?
Boots or what starts the...
Yep.
Yeah.
Boots the Monkey.
Boots the Monkey, yep. I knew it started with a B. I didn't know the name of the dang monkey, but I knew it started with a B.
Oh, no way.
Hmm.
Oh, I knew that Benicio del Toro... You saying Benicio del Toro is in it. but he's playing Swiper. Okay, now I want to watch this even more.
I'm getting more and more upset.
Oh, I am going to love this movie. I can tell you right now. But
it's got 80%
on Rotten Tomatoes, yeah.
That is absurd.
It looks like just a fun, dumb movie. And I am going to just enjoy the crud out of it.
Okay. What was I getting up to? Oh, yeah. What is the last thing Jesse Bradford was in? The Year of Spectacular Men. Never saw it. Anyway, getting back to this soon-to-be potential monstrosity that you're going to see.
No, I mean, like I said, it looks like they took the television show, you know, made it live action, but then just kind of leaned right into the ridiculousness of it. Just where, like, they're in a crate, and Dora just randomly pulls a knife out of her backpack, and they're like, oh, look, she brought a knife on the field trip.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the kind of...
Like I said, ridiculous movie, and I am going to just enjoy every minute of it.
I mean, couldn't you just watch The Room if you wanted a ridiculous movie to laugh at? You know what? If you want a good, terrible movie to watch, watch Samurai Cop.
But does it know that it's a terrible movie?
I honestly don't know, and that's why it's so hilarious.
So, I mean, like, with Dora, it feels like they know how ridiculous the premise is, and they're just going with it and just playing into that as much as they can. Whereas with something like The Room, you know, what's his face? Tommy Wiseau.
Okay.
Was trying to make a serious movie and ended up with that. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, I can't even explain Samurai Cop. It's you'll have to look it up when we're done.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, so this will give you an idea. It came out in 91.
Mm-hmm.
And it had such a low budget that the director could only shoot scenes during the day because he didn't have enough money to buy lighting equipment to film at night. So every single scene in this movie is filmed during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I just... You just when you get a chance, it's almost, I would say it's almost worse than The Room.
Okay.
It's got a 4 out of 5 on worst movies ever made, which really? It's like the opposite of Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but no, I'm not going to Dora.
I'm going to try to. Alrighty, moving on to the next one. Let's go ahead and do this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. The next one is The Art of Racing in the Rain, which is rated PG. The Art of Racing in the Rain is a heartfelt tale narrated by a witty and philosophical dog named Enzo. Through his bond with his owner, Denny Swift, an aspiring Formula One race car driver, Enzo has gained tremendous insight into the human condition and understands that the techniques needed on the racetrack can also be used to successfully navigate the journey of life. The film follows Denny and the loves of his life, his wife Eve, their young daughter Zoe, and ultimately his true best friend, Enzo. Rotten Tomatoes has this one at a 61%, Metacritic has it at a 46%, and IMDb has this one at a 7.5 out of 10. It's got a pretty good cast.
So how are you going to give this a 60%, and they give Dora an 80%? I mean, come on. This is a movie about a dude and his adorable dog.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, the dude is Peter Petrelli, and the dog is Kevin Costner.
Milo Ventimiglia?
Yeah.
Yep.
I always call him Peter Petrelli, because if I call him by Milo to anyone, they're like, who the heck's that? And I'm like, Peter Petrelli. And they're like, oh, yeah, Heroes.
Yeah, well, then he's also in...
he's in a lot of stuff, actually.
Well, he's in a TV show that's on right now that's pretty big.
What?
This Is Us.
Oh, that's right.
He's the dad in This Is Us, which... It's a pretty good show, not gonna lie. It's pretty good.
You know, I would have been just floored by the irony if you would have told me that he's in The Boys.
No.
Which I've heard is very good,
actually. That's what I've heard as well. I mean, that one has Carl Urban in it, so I mean...
My coworker was watching it today, and he always gives me crap about my obsession with Marvel and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, superheroes right up your alley. I was like, eh. I was like, I don't really care that much. I was like, I'm a Marvel guy. I'm not just not just if it's superheroes, I'm into it. I was like, it's got to be good. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of crap superhero stuff out there.
Yeah.
But he said it was really good, and I've heard super good reviews about it. So
same. Like I mean, just watching the trailer for it too looks like it's pretty good. So if you have a second, maybe go check out The Boys.
But
The Art of Racing in the Rain.
I want to see it. It doesn't seem like it's like that depressing thing. Like
there's definitely going to be a part of it that's going to be pretty depressing, is my guess.
The dog gets old.
I don't know about that, but I mean there is the part in the trailer itself where, it seems like
where they're running through the rain, not racing but running through the rain.
No, where Milo goes, he must crash or something, because they have the ambulance, they have his wife and his daughter just kind of standing there and like trying to hold it together kind of thing.
Yeah, but I don't care about that. Like if the dog gets hurt, that's when I get sad. If the dog's in distress, that's when I get upset.
Yeah.
Like even back in the day, so you become much more when you have your own. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like what people say with kids. Like I'm like, I hate kids. I don't like them at all. Then it's like, oh, once you have your own. I'm like, yeah, well, once I have my own, it's different. It's kind of like that. Like, once I got my own dog, now dogs, it's like, love them. I don't know. Something happened to me between 27 and 30 where I just became just an animal lover. Like, not just the house animals, like every animal.
Yeah.
Like, if I see someone being mean to an animal or something, I'm like, you're going to get it. But I digress.
You best watch yourself.
No, man. Like, even if, like, I don't know, like a bunny. Like if I see a bunny get smoked by a car, I'm like, oh, man.
Right?
But, no, so when Marley and Me came out, even back then, because I was like, I think I was still a teenager. No. Mm. How old was I? Yeah, I was probably in my teenagers. Teens?
I was going to say, I thought Marley and Me was close to like 2007.
So I would have been 18.
I don't know if that's actually when it came out.
Hold on, I'm usually good at this. 2006, I'm going to say November. 2008, crap.
Oh, it's 2008?
2008, it was a Christmas movie. Okay, yeah.
So it was almost 2009, okay.
So even when that came out, when I was like 19 and I wasn't, you know, as an animal lover as I am and a dog lover, especially now, that movie, like, I was like, gah. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, gosh.
Well, I mean, that movie affected a lot of people.
Yeah, and then I never watched it again. I was like, I'm not watching that movie again. I was like, absolutely not. This is the most depressing movie I've ever seen. Like, just the fact because they go and they get him as like a fresh puppy. Mm-hmm. And then just...
And then you watch him grow up and grow old.
Mm-hmm.
Yup. I think that movie was one of the catalysts for the website Does the Dog Die? I think it's doesthedogdie.com or something like that. Where they go through all the movies with like dogs in it, and they tell you if the dog dies, so you can make a decision before going to watch the movie.
Yeah,
and I feel like that was one of the catalysts for making that website for the creators of that website.
Well,
but yeah, The Art of Racing in the Rain. I mean, so I was talking about the cast, everything like that. So we got Milo Ventimiglia. Mm-hmm. I'll never say his name right. Amanda Seyfried is the wife. Kevin Costner is Enzo the dog. We've got Gary Cole in there, Kathy Baker. I mean, there's a few names that I'm recognizing in here.
Well, you gonna rattle them off, or
I just did.
Oh, I thought you were saying there's more. Like you made it sound like you were gonna say some more names. I was like, I'm pretty sure you nailed most of them.
Yeah, no, those ones I think are kind of the main people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, just that. That main cast, I feel like, is going to be a pretty good draw for this movie.
I think it looks good. I want to see it. It is also one of the three movies on Milo's career page that isn't rotten.
Okay.
So he has three fresh movies. Art of Racing in the Rain.
Mm-hmm.
Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
And Boy's Life 2.
When did that one come out?
97.
Okay.
It's not a movie you'd want to watch when you're 8 years old, probably.
Probably not.
Just an idea. But, yeah, I want to see it. mm-hmm. more than I want to see Dora, because I don't want to see Dora. So
why you gotta hate on Dora? Okay, moving on to the next one. We have After the Wedding. This one is rated PG-13. Isabel has dedicated her life to working with the children in an orphanage in Calcutta. Teresa is the multimillionaire head of a media company who lives with her artist husband and their twin boys in New York. When word comes to Isabel of a mysterious and generous grant for the financially struggling orphanage, she must travel to New York to meet the benefactor Teresa in person. Rotten Tomatoes has this one at a 50%, Metacritic has it at a 59%, and IMDb has it at a 5.4 out of 10. I mean, just reading that synopsis, I feel like doesn't necessarily do this movie its credit, I guess.
What's up with Julianne Moore doing like these random offshoot movies lately?
I don't know, man.
So she was what was the one we talked about a couple couple months ago now? Remember the one I was talking about?
Gloria Bell. Yeah, where she was middle-aged and was trying to start dating again. Is that Gloria Bell? I think that's Gloria Bell, right?
Yeah, the one with John Turturro.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And then Jesse Eisenberg as her son? Or Michael Cera as her son.
Michael Cera. I was like, no.
I had the wrong awkward actor.
I like Eisenberg better anyway, but...
Yeah. Alrighty. Okay. Yep. Well, I mean, you gotta get stuff going, right? Well, I guess she was in Suburbicon and Kingsman as well.
Oh, she was in Kingsman, that's right.
The Golden Circle, yeah. She was the villain in Kingsman, the Golden Circle.
I don't think I ever saw the Golden Circle.
Really?
No, I actually only saw the original Kingsman.
Okay. I might have to bring that one over at some point in time.
I do want to see it. I got to see it before I see The Kingsman.
Right.
Well, so is The Kingsman about...
it's a prequel.
Yeah, but it's from the original. It's what's his name?
Matthew Vaughn?
Yeah, Matthew. No, the character. Yeah, but yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Director. It's the same director, everything like that. But I think it's more of how the modern Kingsman came to be.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's set during one of the World Wars. And, I mean, if that's the case, then all of the characters in Kingsman, they were way too young to be that age.
Yeah, even the
original. Even Michael Caine.
Yeah, the one, not Michael Caine. Why can't I think of his name? The one who shoots up the fight scene in the church.
Oh, yeah, Colin Firth.
Colin Firth, yes, there it is. Gosh. I was like, it's on the tip of my tongue. Yeah. And I'm too prideful to try and pull it up and act like I knew what I was. So just so you guys know, whenever I'm struggling with something, I'm too prideful to look it up because I tell myself that I should know. I should know this, and I'm not going to look it up and cheat.
Yeah, that's usually me. Every once in a while, I'll be able to grab something, but for the most part, it's like, I don't know, and I really don't want to look it up. Mm-hmm. After the Wedding.
So.
This one is a drama, and it looks like there's going to be a lot of drama, which, as you were about to say, is not my cup of tea.
There you go. That's what I was going to say.
See, I got you.
Yeah, it's... I don't know.
I mean, even though it does... So it has Michelle Williams, it has Julianne Moore, and it has Billy Crudup in it as, like, the main three people.
Mr. Alien... Alien Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I think you mean Dr. Manhattan. Thank you very much.
He was Dr. Manhattan. Yes, he was.
He was.
But more recently, he was in Alien Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Which could have... Actually, no, I liked Alien Covenant. I didn't think it was a bad movie at all.
I didn't think it deserved all the crap that it got from a lot of like the critics and fans and everything.
That's because everyone was granted, I'm not a fan of The Last Jedi myself, but it was the Last Jedi effect. Or even the Endgame effect, where people get these fan theories in their head and then they convince themselves that something's going to happen. And then when it doesn't happen the way they want it to happen, they throw a fit. And they're like, this garbage, why didn't you do what I thought you were going to do?
Right. No, absolutely.
Which I do think, I wish they would have delved more into, like, the creators and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just David, like, I killed them, whatever, they're dead.
Right.
Like, ah, spoiler, but.
Well, I mean, it is a couple years old now.
I was like, come on. I was like, I wanted to go more in depth, you know, kind of like the whole ancient aliens thing. Like, they created us and what's the whole, you know, backstory behind it. But then he's just like, no, I made the xenomorph. And then they all did. Mm-hmm. But I digress. I'm not seeing After the Wedding.
Yeah, no, me neither. It looks like it would be a pretty good movie if I enjoyed that kind of movie. But I don't.
I mean, I could enjoy that kind of movie, but it's like, it's a no from me, dog.
Alrighty. Well, I mean, might as well go on to the next movie. Yeah.
I'm in.
So our next movie is Brian Banks, which is rated PG-13. The inspirational true story of Brian Banks, an all-American high school football star committed to USC, who finds his life upended when he is wrongly convicted of a crime he didn't commit. Despite lack of evidence, Banks is railroaded through a broken justice system and sentenced to a decade of prison and probation. Years later, with the support of Justin Brooks and the California Innocence Project, Banks fights to reclaim his life and fulfill his dreams of playing in the NFL. Rotten Tomatoes has this at a 55%, Metacritic has it at a 54%, and IMDb has it at a 6.1 out of 10.
I think it looks good. I want to see it. I don't know about you.
Not a big sports movie guy.
I know, that's why I was like, I don't know, you're not a big sports movie guy.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I've seen, like, Rudy and that kind of stuff, but, you know, the more of the sports movie that I'm for is, like, you know, The Sandlot or The Big Green. You remember that movie?
Oh, I remember The Big Green.
that was my jam back in the day.
All the, you were wondering what kind of visions he was going to have on the, when he was playing goalie.
Mm-hmm. I think we still have the VHS somewhere.
Big Green, Little Giants.
Angels in the Outfield.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, did you know that was... don't. I literally was just reading something. Joseph Gordon-Levitt in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was like, I just read an article about him possibly playing Moon Knight earlier. I was like, I need to remember this.
Nice.
Yeah. And then... Danny Glover.
Mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
Donald Glover.
Nope.
And someone tried to tell me that. They're like, no, his name is... I was like, no, you're thinking of Donald Glover, like the Donald Glover today. This is Danny Glover.
And then also Christopher Lloyd.
Mm-hmm. Christopher Lloyd. Hank Azaria.
Yep. I mean, that was... Now I want to watch that again.
Angels in the Outfield.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Brian Banks. I mean, like I said, not necessarily... One that I would probably go see just because, I mean, not my, I don't really do sports movies.
Say it.
I'm good.
Backstabber.
That's your saying.
Well, I gave you permission and you, I offer you friendship and you spit in my face.
Are you calling me a traitor? No, okay, never mind.
I was going more the Willem Dafoe Green Goblin.
Yeah, no, I was going Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we were on two different franchises.
Just a little bit, like that much. You can't see my fingers, but they're very, very close together.
So you like the childish sport. Not I don't say that in a bad way. I mean, you're not a big
one's more geared towards children watching them. I guess you would say that. I don't know, but yeah, I guess you know this one with being a dramatic biography. I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think I could.
Well, I mean, like Aldous Hodge, we talked about Straight Outta Compton. He was in that, remember?
Eh. I never actually had a chance to watch Straight Outta Compton.
Very good movie. He plays MC Ren. Just so you're aware.
Okay. Yeah. No, I've been... So with this movie, I've been hearing lots of great things about it, especially about Aldous Hodge and how he does so well in this movie, just playing Brian Banks. I actually didn't know that Greg Kinnear was in this one. Didn't even... like hit me that it was his face that I was seeing.
Well, and I remember actually reading about this whole situation that went down.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that... What year was it? I'm trying to remember.
I honestly have no idea.
I feel like I was young. It was like early 2000s, I want to say.
Well, now that I have a couple of seconds to look it up. So he was born in 1985, and so if it happened when he was 16, then it would have been, like, 2001.
Okay. June 2002, it says.
Okay. So, yeah, right before he turned 17 then, because he was born in July.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, but I remember hearing about that, and I was like, gosh. I was like, that's... I don't want to say that sucks, because it makes it sound like I'm downplaying it. Like, oh, that sucks. Like, well, it sucks to be you. But no, right. I would have...
It's horrible what happened.
I would have lost my mind.
Right.
But, I mean, in the end, it turned out for him.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm pretty sure...
Not justifying it, but...
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure he'd rather not have to have dealt with that entire situation.
Right.
Personally speaking. Okay.
But I mean, he made it to the NFL.
Right.
Albeit very shortly, but...
Mm. You good with this one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You think you're going to go try to catch it, or...?
Not in theaters, no.
Not in theaters? Okay.
This movie looks good. It's great. And no.
Well, I guess that works, too. Okay. So, moving on to our next film. This one... Yes. Is The Peanut Butter Falcon. It is rated PG-13. A modern Mark Twain-style adventure story, The Peanut Butter Falcon tells the story of Zach, a young man with Down syndrome, who runs away from a residential nursing home to follow his dream of attending the professional wrestling school of his idol, the Saltwater Redneck. A strange turn of events pairs him on the road with Tyler, a small-time outlaw on the run, who becomes Zach's unlikely coach and ally. Together, they wind through deltas, elude capture, drink whiskey, find God, catch fish, and convince Eleanor, a nursing home employee charged with Zach's return, to join them on their journey. Now, as of right now, Rotten Tomatoes has this one at a 100%, Metacritic has it at a 66, and IMDb has it at a 6.9 out of 10. I want to see this one, man.
Looks like it's Shia LaBeouf's kind of redemption.
Well, I mean, he's been kind of back on the path for a little bit now. Ever since, right around the time that Fury came out.
That was a few years ago. 5 years ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's still been doing kind of smaller stuff. And this is technically a smaller thing here, too. But, I mean, it's Shia LaBeouf.
Sam Witwicky.
Yep. Dakota Johnson. And this new guy, I can never pronounce his last name, but his first name is Zach as well, who's playing Zach.
Mm-hmm.
But I was actually reading something. When I first saw the trailer, it was actually on Reddit, where the writer-director of this movie had posted it out there. And basically the story is his buddy, Zach, who has Down syndrome, wanted to be a movie star. And so he wrote and directed this film for him so that he could become a movie star.
I'm not even going to try and pronounce his last name.
Right?
Gottsagen? It might just be Gottsagen.
I think so. I think that's right.
But John Bernthal's in it.
John Bernthal's in it. Thomas Hayden Church is in it. Bruce Dern is in it. I mean...
Mick Foley
is in it.
Well, it has to do with wrestling, so I'm not entirely shocked.
Right. Yeah, the Saltwater Redneck is being played by Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah.
And in the trailer, the scene that had Thomas Hayden Church in it completely and totally reminded me of Napoleon Dynamite with the kickboxing school or whatever it was.
Oh,
with
yeah.
With Diedrich Bader.
Yep.
I'm sorry. But it just completely and totally reminded me of that scene in Napoleon Dynamite. But getting back to The Peanut Butter Falcon, this movie looks good. I really want to see it. I really do.
Are you guys getting it in your theater?
No. No, we are not, which is unfortunate. I think this is Bleecker Street as the distributor of this film. I could be wrong. Oh, sorry. This one is Roadside Attractions, not Bleecker Street. But yeah, even then, that one, Roadside is a lot more of a smaller distributor of films. But yeah, they're a lot smaller kind of distributor, so not necessarily a lot of theaters will be getting this movie, especially since I'm guessing that it was such a small production itself,
mm-hmm.
that they're just going to do a limited release and then try to expand it out. That's my guess.
Probably will, because it's getting like super good word of mouth.
Oh, absolutely. And I know Shia LaBeouf and Zach Gottsagen have been doing the rounds on different talk shows and things like that to drum up support for it, and Dakota Johnson joins them every once in a while. But yeah, this is one that... That definitely caught my attention when I saw the trailer. If you have a second, go catch the trailer. Go watch it. It's right on YouTube. Just The Peanut Butter Falcon. And it looks pretty good. Not gonna lie. Mm-hmm. You got anything else to say about this one specifically?
No, all of a sudden I want to watch Fury, though, since you brought it up.
You're welcome.
No, I've seen it, but...
No, I know. I know.
That's back when everyone started stealing Brad Pitt's haircut from that movie.
Right?
Literally, that's where it came... Like, that's where that hairstyle became popular from, is because of that. Because I literally saw the movie, and I was like, I'm getting that haircut tomorrow.
Yep.
And then everybody got it.
Yep.
And then it just kind of evolved from that. But, yeah. People... I always tell people that, and no one wants to believe me. I was like, the undercut became popular because of that movie. Because I know so many people who are like, Brad Pitt's hair in that movie is so sick. I'm getting the same hair.
Right. No, absolutely.
But he pulls it off.
I would have to 100% agree with you.
But he pulls it off better than any of us do.
Well, I mean, you know, he does have a bit more money than most everybody to be able to pull it off. So, well, moving on to the next film.
Yeah, I was going to say, and he's Brad Pitt, so...
The next one that we have is One Child Nation. This one is rated R. China's one-child policy, the extreme population control measure that made it illegal for couples to have more than one child, may have ended in 2015, but the process of dealing with the trauma of its brutal enforcement is only just beginning. From award-winning documentarian Nunfu Wang and Jialing Zhang, the sweeping One Child Nation explores the ripple effect of this devastating social experiment, uncovering one shocking human rights violation after another, from abandoned newborns to forced sterilizations and abortions and government abductions. Wang digs fearlessly into her own personal life, weaving her experience as a new mother and the first-hand accounts of her family members into archival propaganda materials and testimony from victims and perpetrators alike, yielding a revelatory and essential record of this chilling, unprecedented moment in human civilization. Rotten Tomatoes has this one at a 95%, Metacritic has it at an 85%, and IMDb has this one at a 7.6 out of 10. I mean, this one looks like a pretty good documentary. And there is parts in English. There's parts in English.
I know.
But, I mean, this this documentarian is interviewing, Nunfu Wang is interviewing her family and everything like that, too. So it's going to be in, I don't know languages very well, but I think Mandarin is what is mainly spoken over in China. I could be completely wrong. I'm sorry if I am, but I think that's
China official language, standard Mandarin. The official dialect of China is Mandarin, also called... Nope. Putonghua.
Okay. Okay, yeah, so languages listed in IMDb are just English and Mandarin. So, yeah, it would have some subtitles in there, but... I mean, this looks like a really interesting documentary.
I would say so.
Because, again, you know, this is a historical documentary, but, you know, not... Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes back a while, a little bit, but it's not like crazy far back kind of historical documentaries, like World War II, anything like that.
So you want to know my blunder?
What's that?
I never realized that, like, Mandarin was essential. Mandarin was, like, China. So when people says, oh, he speaks Chinese, that's basically saying he speaks Mandarin.
Yep.
Never realized that. I feel like those idiots who are like, oh... you speak Mexican instead of, like, you speak Spanish. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, God. If I ever met someone from China and I was like, oh, do you speak Chinese? They're probably like, yeah, I speak Mandarin, you moron. But
no, I got you, man. I got you.
You speak Cantonese?
Alrighty. I mean, like I said, I mean, this one looks pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Not necessarily one to go watch in the theaters because I feel like that would be crazy. But... one to absolutely watch just in general, whether it's having it on the background and then catching it or kind of looking up when you have to read it. But
yeah, there's some crazy stuff going on in China even today as we speak. So yeah.
Well, I mean, they were saying this thing ended in 2015, so that's only 4 years ago. And I mean, obviously it ended in 4 years ago, so they're still going to be reeling from it.
Yeah, I mean, well, China's a dictatorship, so more of that shady stuff goes on than here, obviously. But yeah, I don't know. It's not, I mean, I'd watch it on you know, if I could find it on YouTube and like watch it while I'm working, or
sit
at home and watch it while I don't fold laundry.
No, I got you, man. I got you. Alrighty. I mean, that kind of makes sense here. So, you ready for the next one then? If you like documentaries, it might be one to catch.
Yeah.
Alrighty, perfect. Moving on then. Okay, the next one that we have is Echo, which is rated R. Michael is a ghost living in the shadows with his new family, years away from his former life as a nomadic covert assassin. His peace and anonymity are shattered when his old employers return to bury their last surviving operative. With his truth exposed, Michael must protect his family and pursue his only chance at redemption, hunt those behind the organization where all his sins were born. Now, there are no scores on Rotten Tomatoes, Metacritic, or IMDb for this one. I honestly thought that this was going to be a foreign movie, just kind of by the trailer, or not the trailer, the name and the synopsis, mm-hmm. quite honestly.
But it wasn't.
No, it's not.
So, there was hope, but I don't think it looks like a bad or terrible movie. I really have zero interest in seeing it.
Okay. I mean, it feels very Bourne. You know what I mean?
Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne.
So yeah, like, you know, Bourne Identity, Bourne Supremacy, and Bourne Ultimatum.
The Bourne Legacy? Come on.
Yeah, it's Jeremy Renner, though.
Hey, don't hate on Hawkeye.
I wasn't. I was just saying that's like a different movie than the Bourne series to me.
Here's a good idea. Would Hawkeye beat Jason Bourne in a fight?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Because he would shoot him with an arrow before he got close.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, this one, I feel like it feels like a Bourne movie without the Bourne name. You know what I mean?
Yeah, pretty much. Like a low-budget Bourne
right.
movie.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, it could be a pretty good crime drama thriller, which is what it's listed as. This thing is 2 hours and 3 minutes as well.
Yeah, but Bourne ever put on a blindfold in a shed full of guns? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, that I feel like that has some meaning, too, because it brings him back to his training when he had a blindfold on and a knife, and he was in a room with, like, four other guys. Mm-hmm. And they all had knives and were trying to attack him or something. I don't know. I couldn't really tell from the trailer.
Yeah. On to the next one.
Could be something to watch. But, yeah, might as well move on to the next one here.
Yeah, I'm not going to see it.
Alrighty, the next one that we have is Ode to Joy, which is rated R. How does a man who is literally paralyzed by happiness find love? Thanks to a condition called cataplexy, a rare disorder that causes him to lose control of his muscles whenever he is overcome by a strong emotion, particularly joy, Brooklyn librarian Charlie has learned to carefully edit all delight-triggering people, places, and events out of his life. Family weddings, cute babies, adorable puppies, and yes, romance are all fraught with peril in Charlie's carefully managed world. But when the beautiful, spontaneous Francesca falls for him, a risk-averse Charlie finds himself at a crossroads. Suppress his feelings of attraction, or take a chance and let love in. Based on a true story originally featured in This American Life, Ode to Joy is a hilarious and touching look at what happens when we stop being afraid and let ourselves truly live. Rotten Tomatoes has this one at a 60%, Metacritic has no score, and IMDb has this one at a 6.7 out of 10. What did you think of that trailer, man?
It kind of caught me off guard. It's a little, unique.
Right? And I feel like I've been saying this a lot this episode, but that cast, man. Well, the main characters of the cast, I should say.
Bilbo, Vanessa.
Yeah, so the main cast in this movie, the main character is being played by Martin Freeman, Bilbo, or Watson in the new, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch Sherlock, or the original, who was the template for Jim in The Office from the original British Office, if you watch that. But he plays the main character, Morena Baccarin, who was on Firefly. She plays the love interest, Francesca. And then, Melissa Rauch, really? Okay. So Melissa Rauch, who's been on, you know, Big Bang Theory for years now, as Bernadette.
Mm-hmm.
She's in this movie as well. I didn't even recognize her. Wow, okay. But yeah, I think this one looks pretty fun.
I mean, like I said, it's a pretty unique concept.
Right. Like, right. Exactly. Exactly. But it does say that it's based off a true story.
Really?
That, weren't you listening, man? Come on.
I mean, you know how that, I know that it said that, but.
Yeah, so it does, like, say
based on a true story. Is that really a true story? That's what I mean.
Yeah, well, it's based on, so it might not be fully 100% factual, but it's based on a true story. So they are at least borrowing elements from this person's story.
Right. I think it looks good. I'm not going to see it in theaters, but I want to.
Eventually watch it.
Yeah, exactly. One of these days, get around to seeing it.
Yeah, and then it's done, I believe, by Amazon Studios, is what I think I saw. Let's see what we got going on here. At least that's what I think I saw. I could be completely wrong. Again, we'll have to see. I believe I am completely wrong.
I am wrong.
Go figure. This one is from IFC Films. So that completely takes what I was going to say out the window, but whatever.
Eh, I don't think anyone's going to judge you for it.
Oh, they will. They all will.
Probably could.
Yeah, I really want to see this one. Just not necessarily in the theaters.
We both eventually want to see it.
Exactly. Alrighty. Which means, I think, if we are in agreement, we are on to the last one.
Mm-hmm.
So this is movie number 11 out of our 11 here. Wow. Holy cow.
We made pretty good time with...
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, we've been doing pretty good here. We're good on time.
Mm-hmm.
This one is going to be called Dying to Survive, which is not rated. When a father struggling to keep custody of his son, keep his business afloat, and keep his own father alive is given a chance to profit off of overseas pharmaceutical smuggling, he jumps at the chance. But what follows is one man's profound evolution from what it is to make money to what it is to make a difference. Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic both do not have a score, but IMDb has this one at an 8 out of 10. So you're not seeing this one?
he goes, well, we all know.
Well, am I lying?
No, you're right on.
Because this one, again, is a foreign language film, so... So you're not going to go watch it. It looks like an interesting kind of concept. I don't know if I would want to go watch it either, though. Yeah, so, again, Mandarin coming over from China, so.
The Mandarin?
No, that's in the wrong universe there, man.
They are actually getting the real Mandarin, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, it looks like an interesting concept and everything like that. I don't think I would go watch this one, personally.
Well, you know very personally that I wouldn't either.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, just based off the synopsis, if you want to go watch it, you know, you might want to check it out. But me, no, I'm good. I got too many other movies I want to watch this week.
Yeah. Did you ever see? Oh, what did your dad think of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
He enjoyed it. I mean, his wife didn't, but.
Well, like I said, you got to be a pretty big movie fan, I feel like, to enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he said that it was a little bit slow, but he enjoyed it. So, you know, just kind of almost 3 hours of Tarantino, so. But yeah.
It gets rolling.
It does. I haven't had a chance to see it yet, so please don't spoil stuff. Thank you.
So, there's this part where... No, okay.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
I didn't say it, you...
Alrighty, well, Dying to Survive, yeah, I'm probably not going to go watch it, not even going to check it out, but if it's something that's in your wheelhouse, more power to you. Yeah?
See.
Alrighty. Well, I think, do you got anything else for the podcast, or do you just got stuff for later on?
Yeah, I'll save it for that.
Alrighty.
Strong arm you into going to the...
So, let's just kind of wrap things up here then. Basically, if you want to follow us, not necessarily on your favorite podcast listening website thing, yes, because I can English speak, yes. Go ahead and follow us on Twitter. We are at Movies Are a Thing. We also do have an Instagram, just at Movies Are a Thing. Again, for both of those, no spaces, dashes, slashes, anything like that, at Movies Are a Thing, Twitter and Instagram. We also do have a Facebook, facebook.com/moviesareathing, no spaces, dashes, slashes, anything like that, facebook.com/moviesareathing. You can also, if you want to, you can support us on Patreon. We do have a Patreon. We got patreon.com/moviesareathing. Again, no spaces, dashes, slashes, anything like that. Patreon.com/moviesareathing, which is where we actually have a super secret special podcast called Patreons Are a Thing that our supporters do get if they are at a certain level. We have the different tiers of support, everything like that. So if you want to go check it out, absolutely go ahead and check it out. Patreon.com/moviesareathing, facebook.com/moviesareathing, or on Twitter and Instagram @moviesareathing. Anything else, sir?
Patreon.
I did that.
Yeah, I'm just reinforcing it.
Alrighty, in that case...
Oh, yeah, here it comes.
Cue the outro! Thank you for listening to Movies Are a Thing.
Come back next week for more movies and tangents with us.
Well, I think that we're good. Do you want to say something quick?
Yup.
Okay, maybe not that quick, but...
What? Hello?
I just want to make sure that it's not like...
How's that?
Spiking or anything like that. That was fun.
Our foam keeps falling. It's not because I have to paint the room, so I didn't want to stick any of the soundproof foam on for sure yet.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's aware.
And it keeps falling. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
What uh-oh?
Yikes. You okay?
Okay.
Ooh, it tickled. Weird. Oh, my lip. No, so.
I'm creaking this chair so much right now. That's annoying. Sorry. Ooh, creak, creak, creak. Ah.
Creaking.
Yep.
I was like, what's he doing?
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Oh, actually, let me double check. Shoot, that's not what I wanted. Oh, no. Stop it. Okay. Let's go ahead and do this.